there was still, there's still.
Buying anything, and that's the Dramatics. The Dramatics in the background, and this is the 6 p.m. Friday news. And I'm Hassan, and I have some interesting things here for you today. We're gonna I have two articles on from the LA Times op-ed section. One is on the Herr Gubernator. Schwarzenegger, you know, every Friday I have to read my LA Times story about him. And interesting piece in the, a really even better interesting piece in the op-ed about comparing the Ten Commandments to the U.S. Constitution. You know, it's because of this judge they're put, Bush just nominated. So I'm going to read those two articles. But right now we're going to go back into the Dramatics. From the early 70s, showing my youth, my old high school days. And then we're going to go into Malcolm X. Okay, and again, this is the 6 p.m. Friday Kill Radio News, summer 2005. And let's go back into the Dramatics, and then we're going to segue into Brother Malcolm X. And again, remember, Kill Radio just might save your life. So tell a friend. And let me see if I can pod back up here the Dramatics. Oh, yeah, there they go.
Baby, oh, oh,
then you go on into some action. As long as you got a sit-down philosophy, you'll have a sit-down thought pattern. And as long as you think that old sit-down thought, you'll be in some kind of sit-down everywhere. It's not so good to refer to what you're going to do as a sit-in. That right there castrates you. Right there it brings you down. What goes with it? What think of the image of someone sitting? An old woman can sit. An old man can sit. A chump can sit. A coward can sit. Anything can sit. Well, you and I have been sitting long enough, and it's time today for us to start doing some standing and some fighting to back that up. When we look at other parts of this earth upon which we live, we find that black, brown, red, and yellow people in Africa and Asia are getting their independence. They're not getting it by singing, "We Shall Overcome." No, they're getting it through nationalism. It is nationalism that brought about the independence of the people in Asia. Every nation in Asia gained its independence through the philosophy of nationalism. Every nation on the African continent that has gotten its independence brought it about through the philosophy of nationalism. And it will take black nationalism that to bring about the freedom of 22 million Afro-Americans here in this country where we have suffered colonialism for the past 400 years. America is just as much a colonial power as England ever was. America is just as much a colonial power as France ever was. In fact, America is more so a colonial power than they, because she's a hypocritical colonial power behind it. What is 20th? What do you call second-class citizenship? Why, that's colonization. Second-class citizenship is nothing but 20th century slavery. How are you going to tell me you're a second-class citizen? They don't have second-class citizenship in any other government on this earth. They just have slaves and people who are free. Well, this country is a hypocrite. They try and make you think they set you free by calling you a second-class citizen. No, you're nothing but a 20th century slave. Just as it took nationalism to remove colonialism from Asia and Africa, it'll take black nationalism today to remove colonialism from the backs and the minds of 22 million Afro-Americans here in this country. Looks like it might be the year of the ballot or the bullet.
That's Malcolm X speaking in 1964. Malcolm X was born Malcolm Little.
Okay, everybody, this is and this is Miles Davis in the background. And that piece by Malcolm X was a lot shorter than I thought. So what we're going to do while I get ready to read this article, again, this is Kill Radio, and this is Miles Davis in the background here at Engineer Free, killradio.org. Even though our ace engineer, Josh, is out in the other studio, and he really helped me tonight, but if he wasn't here, I would have had more technical difficulties today. So I'm glad he was here to get us on the ball. So what we're going to do, we're going to go into Johnny Wendell, another LA DJ who's going to talk for a few minutes about how the government is, how pharmaceuticals are getting fucked in the ass by the government, pharmaceutical companies. And I blatantly stole that art interview from another radio station. Okay, so let's listen to that. Even though I love Johnny, he's cool. He talks a lot of good stuff. This is Kill Radio, 6 p.m. Friday News, with Miles Davis in the background. And I'm going to let Johnny play for about 10 minutes, and then I'm going to come back and read these great articles from the LA Times here on Kill Radio, 6 p.m. Friday News.
Does this not alarm you? Or perhaps you're a legal junkie yourself and you want to go toe-to-toe with the master of disaster, Mr. Johnny Wendell. 877-520-1150. Come on, script junkies, ante up. 877-520-1150. Prescription drug users, top 15 million in America. And I'm sure they're all there's a lot of deep denial going on here. Oh, you don't understand. I'm in excruciating pain. I bet you are. And you know something? I got no problem with people being on painkillers for as long as they want to be, for as much as they want to be. My mother-in-law is in from out of town, and she has done studies on pain and pain management for years. And even she, somebody who does not care particularly for the prescription drug industry, says in reality, people who are in actual pain in America are under-medicated in hospitals. Like, they are afraid they're going to turn people in hospitals into junkies, so they have all kinds of alternatives in mind. This is not the issue here. What we are talking about is people who are abusing the system specifically so they can live with themselves knowing, well, at least I don't break the law like some dope-injecting scumbag down in MacArthur Park there. I'm not a crack smoker. I'm not a this. I'm not a that. I'm not breaking the law. You can't blah, 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 etc. I got nothing against people who have to take care of themselves on a daily basis. I appreciate how much pain they're in. But on the other hand, this is drug abuse that doesn't have legal consequences. And to me, that is disgraceful. Why does this country want to legislate your desire to do with what you want to your body? And as long as you're within the sanction of prescription drugs as opposed to those that cannot or are not be prescribed, you're okay as opposed to not okay. We are at 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. Prescription drugs have hooked over 5% of the American public. Why not do what Chairman Johnny says? Legalize them all and let the chips fall where they may. I got to tell you something. If 80% of the people that took OxyContin and took Vicodin and took Percodan could get their hands on regular old morphine or heroin and use it to their heart's content, they would never go back to the other drugs. I'm serious. And they would have the same effect. But in America, we have this weird moral issue over what people do when they want to control their own lives. And that's why you have prescription junkiedom. When people can control their own lives, they can make decisions for themselves, not based in the hands of doctors who are basically puppets for the pharmaceutical industry. If I'm in pain, let me do with what I want, with any kind of substance that I want. Let me take my chances. Because I know if some doctor is prescribing something, he may be on the payroll of a pharmaceutical company. That's how cynical I've gotten. And I think I'm right on this one. We are at 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. Ray in Whittier, you're on with Johnny.
Hi, I don't know if it's any fun of not disagreeing with you, because I agree with you 100%.
Disagree if you feel like it, man. Go ahead. Free country. Yeah, go ahead.
It wouldn't be a very fun conversation between me and you, because I pretty much agree with you what you're saying. I just think it was duly noted that I do believe that Mr. Limbaugh fit in your description of a prescription junkie.
Yeah.
And I just thought it would be, nice to kind of put that personal dig in there. I don't know if it's personal.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. No, yes, he's a junkie. You know, we're talking about the quack tour. You send your maid out to cop dope for you. Because what do you think OxyContin is? It's junk. It's legal heroin. Methadone is legal heroin. I mean, come on. It's essentially the same substance. You're going out, you're getting your maid to cop for you. It's unbelievable. You know, you get on in the counterculture, the people that Limbaugh makes fun of day in and day out, the Kurt Cobains and the Keith Richards and the whatever, jazz musicians. Wild bohemians that have incredibly disgusting habits, my friends. And what is he doing? He's sending his maid out to cop his dope for him. I mean, come on. You tell me. I'm curious. That's what I want to know. You tell me what the difference is between somebody that cops illegal dope as opposed to somebody that quaffs legal dope in massive amounts. What's the distinction? Let's take the law out of this. You tell me where it is that you are different from a street junkie if you're a legal junkie, because I don't see the difference. I got nothing against either of you, but I am curious as to why it is that you don't think that you are in the same boat just because the pharmaceutical company has its hands in your wallet as opposed to a dope dealer. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. That is our number. Let us talk about the insane hypocrisy, the insanity of having our laws made by people that are owned by companies that have only their interests at heart and not yours, and how they manipulate you into thinking that you're a stand-up citizen when in reality you are just like everybody else. Because that is master manipulation. Go toe-to-toe with the master of disaster, Johnny Wendell. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. Johnny Wendell at LA's Progressive Talk. KTLK, AM 1150. You're driving to diazepam. Stimulants including Ritalin or Adderall. I've never heard of Adderall. I've heard of Ritalin. Yeah, for hyperactive children. Yeah, because as you know, when children show way too much energy in what they do, it's got to be hyperactivity. Or anabolic androgenic steroids like Anadrol or Equipose. Equipose. Do you know what that is? That's a horse steroid. Equipose, as in equine. People are using horse drugs, and they're getting prescribed that way. Anadrol. It says anabolic Anadrol. Anadrol, if you look it up in the PDR, will tell you causes liver damage. That's what it does. And it gets prescribed. On the other hand, I don't even want to go into the on the other hand. Sorry about that. I would like to know why this is, that anybody thinks because something is legally prescribed by a doctor, it suddenly has a cachet of respectability as opposed to anything and everything else. You know why? Because doctors are regarded as the high priests of American society. They can do no wrong. Look at how they go to medical school and they do internships and they work these insane hours and they've got all the answers to everything. They don't. The other day, my wife gives birth Thursday, and they're, you know, at the end of the birth, our second son, he's a little cool. His temperature is low, and unfortunately, like his brother above him, his blood sugar was a little low, and I was like, oh no, not natal ICU again. So I started pacing around, which is what I do when I'm nervous like most people. The anesthesiologist sees this and is alarmed and asks the nurse that helped in delivery, is there something wrong with him? How many people pace when they're nervous or upset? Like everybody? How many people show anxiety during the day of birth of a child? Like everyone? And this doctor is wondering what it is after my wife has given birth, why it is that I'm pacing around looking a little upset. You're a doctor and you haven't been able to figure that. I have a question for you, doc. Why don't you ask me what it is that's on my mind? I'll answer you, then you'll know that there's nothing wrong with me. I'm just a parent with anxieties. They are not high priests in our society. They're just people. To give them the power to tell you what's better for you than what you know you can handle what you want, as opposed to simply going out and getting it yourself, I'm sorry. I live in my body. You live in your body. You do know instinctively what is better for you And that's why this prescription drug abuse thing seems to me that doctors are hooked in, no pun intended, with the prescription drug companies to get you to quaff as much of this junk as possible, because you spend your money and it fattens their wallets and it fattens the coffers of the prescription drug companies. If you made your own decision about what you wanted to use and or abuse, then you are eliminating the middleman, which is them. Is that not true? Simple economics. 877-520-1150. That's our number, 877-520-1150. Bill in Orange, you're on with Johnny. Molly? Yeah. Bill.
Wow. Your question.
Bill, you are breaking up like crazy. I can't talk to you. Pull over. If you want to have a conversation with the master of disaster, you better be in one place, because I am the master. Let's try Molly. Molly in Burbank, you're on with Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny. You know, I think television promotes the excessive use of prescription drugs by airing drug commercials, because now people think that there's a quick fix for everything, from allergies to impotency.
I know. And you know something? Well, let me ask you something about Molly. Are you over the age of 40?
Yes.
Okay. Has it ever struck you as odd that when you were younger, the idea of a medical panacea, you know what a panacea right? The cure for all evils, the cure for all ills, that was never dangled in front of us as kids. We recognized that medicine was an inexact science as children, and as a result, we're somewhat more skeptical about it. True?
Absolutely.
Therefore, anything and everything that a doctor was going to prescribe to you, you know it came with the proviso, we're not sure. Do you ever hear that disclaimer now when it comes to prescription medication, Molly? We are not entirely sure.
No, you don't hear that. You do hear that there are a lot of side effects. That alone would scare me from using most of these drugs that they advertise.
It amazes me that nobody once, Molly, and I've been checking into the Celebrex Vioxx thing, nobody ever said we weren't entirely sure of what the outcome was going to be. There's been a lot of backpedaling and all that stuff, but not like we weren't sure. Not like we raced into this and we made a fortune, yippee-yi-yo-tai-yay. We weren't sure. No, it's backpedaling. And thank you so much for calling KTLK. Patrick in L.A., you're on with Johnny.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, with the Rush Limbaugh situation, you know, because I hear so many conservatives say that, well, he had pain and that's why he was taking it,
yeah,
which is, you know, a crock.
And?
But I wanted to say for, you know, any of the conservative listeners out there, this guy was taking so much of the stuff that it caused permanent hearing loss in both of his ears, 100%, you know, because OxyContin does that. And then he still was capable to go out and get cochlear transplants, you know, ahead of the list of other organ donors.
Yeah, but to be perfectly fair, Patrick, and as you may have ascertained, I'm not a fan of Mr. Limbaugh particularly. David Crosby of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young and the Birds, and Phil Lesh of the Grateful Dead, and Mickey Mantle, the baseball player, all got jumped ahead of everybody else on liver transplant lists. And why is that, Patrick? Because one, they're rich, and two, they're celebrities. So Limbaugh is essentially working the same side of the street as they were. Is that true?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, too. You know, I was going to mention that as well. I just couldn't remember the name from the guys, Mamas and the Papas, I think it was.
Oh, John Phillips, now dead.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't make any, didn't take anyway. You know, or Mickey Mantle, his liver transplant didn't take anyway. And why? Well, did he get one after he had basically destroyed his insides? Because he was famous, because he was the Mick, because he's a Hall of Famer. That's how... Look, I don't want to get into the hierarchy of society and why things are... It's wrong and unequal for some people to get what other people get or don't get. That's not the issue. The issue is this. You're telling me you know better than me what's good for me, and I'm not supposed to believe that there is some catch, that there is not something part of your reasoning, there isn't some hidden agenda that you are making money on. Because when I see that over 5% of the American public is addicted to prescription drugs, and I know that the level of addiction in our society is around 10 to 12% of people who have the compulsive behavior that is associated with alcoholism and drug abuse, half of them, therefore, are legal junkies. Doesn't that tell you something about junkiedom? Steve Young is going to be up next. He's going to rock your world. I will be in tomorrow at 10 a.m. from 10 to 2, and the Purple Car's on after me, where the fur is going to fly, and that'll be in on Monday at 3 p.m. for Randy Rhodes. Johnny Wendell, the master of disaster, bidding you adieu on L.A.'s Progressive Talk, KTLK, AM 1150.
Okay, Johnny. Johnny is gone. Johnny Wendell had to leave the building. And I'm going to read this article from the L.A. Times. Okay, we're back live at 6 p.m. Friday News. I'm going to read this article from the L.A. Times, Sunday, July 3rd, 2005. And it's kind of showing the comparisons between the Ten Commandments, if you can believe this, and some of the amendments to the Constitution. Okay, and it was in the op-ed section, in the editorial section of the Los Angeles Times. From okay, starting, and it's fairly short. From the blogosphere, on 7 out of 10, you are bound to walk. The following was written by Eugene Vosch, a professor of law at UCLA, and appeared on his website, the Volokh Conspiracy, at volokh.com. Let's see, and blah, 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 blah. I'm checking my signals here because, again, this is engineer-free Kill Radio, checking out the board here. It is often said that the Ten Commandments are an important part of the foundation of American law. But how many of them are legally binding obligations under modern American law? Let's focus on the list in Exodus, chapter 20, King James Version. 1. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other God, no other gods before me. Not legally enforceable. In fact, the First Amendment would prohibit the government from enforcing this. 2. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. Not legally enforceable, neither as to the prohibition on graven images, nor as to the visiting of the father's sins upon the sons. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Some states have enacted blasphemy laws, though they've generally been limited to public blasphemy. They are not enforceable today. 4. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Six days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. This is generally not the law today. Some states still require some businesses to be closed Sundays, but there is no general punishment on work on the Sabbath. 5. Honor thy father and thy mother, not legally enforceable. 6. Thou shalt not kill, legally enforceable, though with the usual qualifiers. 7. Thou shalt not commit adultery, in practice not legally enforced, except in the military. Some states do have criminal prohibition on adultery. There are plausible arguments for enforcing these prohibitions, and also for considering adultery in various civil contexts, in property settlements, in divorce, and the like. 8. Thou shalt not steal, legally enforceable. 9. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, legally enforceable, at least in a wide range of contexts, such as perjury and libel. 10. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Not legally enforceable. Can you imagine a law prohibiting coveting? And again, this was in the LA Times editorial section, Sunday, July 3rd, 2005. And it's written by Professor Eugene Volokh. His last name is spelled V like in Volkswagen, V-O-L-O-K-H. Excuse me, sir, for butchering your name. Again, that was written by Eugene Volokh, a professor of law at UCLA. And his website is volokh.com. That's V, again, like in Volkswagen, V-O-L-O-K-H.com. And, you know, we're going to go back into a little Miles Davis, and then I'm going to come back and read this other article about Governor Schwarzenegger. So let's see if I can bring up Miles Davis. Let me see.
Thank you.
Let's see, are you guys still out there listening? I see we have a pretty big audience today with Miles Davis here in the background. And again, this is 6 p.m. Friday News. I'm Hassan, and I'm going to read this article. This article is from the LA Times, Tuesday, July 19th, 2005. You know, because people who listen to my news on Friday know that I always try and say something about Schwarzenegger because, you know, I didn't vote for him. I mean, and I actually know a couple of people that did. I was talking to him, and hope I didn't hurt your feelings, but, you know, I had to tell him that, like, voting for Schwarzenegger to me would be kind of like, and I said this before, voting for Schwarzenegger would kind of be like voting for a cartoon character. You know, like voting for Bugs Bunny or who was that guy that had the two guns? He was always chasing people. Anyway, I just couldn't vote. And it seems like Schwarzenegger is not a good governor. I mean, he accused Gray Davis of raising all this private money, and Schwarzenegger has quadrupled raising more private donations than Gray Davis ever could have. So I'm going to read this article out of the LA Times. It's called Governor is Focus of Essex Complaint. It's by Peter Nichols. Good article, Peter. Times staff writer. Top Democrats say that Schwarzenegger's lucrative contract with a publisher violated state laws over political gifts. Sacramento officials with the California Democratic Party said they intend to file a complaint today with a state watchdog agency over Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's lucrative consulting deal with a magazine publisher, saying that he ran afoul of conflict of interest and gift laws. The complaint, to be filed with the Fair Political Practice Commission, would contend that the governor's multi-million-dollar agreement with the publisher was barred under state laws designed to keep public officials from getting excessive gifts or using their positions for personal gain. We think that the governor's actions here are pretty outrageous, said Laura Olson, general counsel for the state Democratic Party. He's lined his pockets and he's vetoed legislation that directly affects those people giving him money. And we think that violates violates several pretty clear provisions in the Political Reform Act. At the same time, Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunes, a Democrat from Los Angeles, said that he is discussing with state lawyers the possibility of holding legislative hearings into Schwarzenegger's contract with Florida-based American Media Inc. Margaretta Thompson, a spokeswoman for the governor, said there was no need for hearings or an FPPC inquiry. In any case, she said the issue is moot because Schwarzenegger ended the deal on Friday, a day after financial details were disclosed in newspaper reports. There's no legal conflict of interest, Thompson said. The contract guarantees. Okay, you guys, I got to change pages. Hold on. Let me see. I got to change. Bear with me here. Oh, where are we? And this page is torn, but I'm going to try and read it. Schwarzenegger, a minimum of $1 million a year over 5 years based on a percentage of advertising in 7 magazines put out by an American media subsidiary. In return, the governor wants to offer the business objectives to the subsidiary, Wilder Publications. The governor also served as the executive editor of 2 muscle magazines, Flex and Muscle and Fitness, and wrote a monthly column for each. He said the column would continue with no pay. Schwarzenegger and the company reached the agreement on November 15, 2003, 2 days before he was sworn in as governor. The contract began in January 2004 and was to run through 2008. In a filing last month with federal regulators, American Media estimated that the deal would pay at least $8 million. Schwarzenegger has declined to return any of the money arrogant motherfucker he has received under the contract to date. That was my quote right here. Some of the magazines contain many ads for performance-enhancing dietary supplements that promise improved athletic performance. Last year, the governor vetoed a bill that would have imposed restrictions on the supplement industry. An action that some lawmakers and Essex experts contend was a conflict of interest. Nunes said he may want a legislative committee with subpoena power to examine the deal, but he said he wants to avoid a circus atmosphere. He said he may delay a decision on hearings for several weeks while he consults with advisors. A delay could mean that any hearing would spill into the campaign over several initiatives that Schwarzenegger has placed on the ballot for a fall special election, which could prove embarrassing for the governor. While I think the governor did the right thing by canceling the contract with this firm, it still raises lots of questions and a lot of doubts about political transparency, Nunes said. Quote unquote, whether or not there was an implied or direct conflict of interest ought to be looked into further in the scope of a legislative probe. Schwarzenegger took a few questions about the deal in Oakland on Monday while signing legislation to complete construction on a new span of the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge. It's the way it is in life. You encounter problems and you try to eliminate them as quickly as possible and then move on, Schwarzenegger said. According to Associated Press, he quipped that his wife, Maria Shriver, might be more upset than he was to relinquish millions of dollars. I have no problem about the money, but my wife has a little problem with that. She thinks it means less diamonds or something like that, Schwarzenegger said. He dropped the consulting job amid accusations that it was a distraction from his duties as governor. On October 8, 2003, the day after he was elected, Schwarzenegger held a news conference and said he would make no movies or let his attention lapse while serving as governor. The people of California want me to be the governor, and I would do that if nothing else, he said. I will work as the governor. I will work as much as I can, even if it is around the clock. There will be no time for movies or anything else. I will pay full attention to this job. The Democrats complain that the governor comes down to three concerns. Party officials said the governor is violating a rule that prohibits him from getting gifts worth more than $360 because his duties under the contract were so vague, Olson said. He was pocketing an amount that outstripped the value of his work. Therefore, the money was really a gift, he contended. Quote unquote, read the contract, Olson, the Democratic Party counsel said. You can't figure out what he does for $8 million. All we know is he's written a couple of columns, and it isn't even clear he writes those columns. That's the definition of a gift. Every few weeks, Schwarzenegger would talk to the editors of the Muscle magazine, who then would write a personal column based on his thoughts and send it back to him for his approval. A muscle and fitness editor said, The complaint also would allege a conflict of interest. Olson cited a state law barring public officials from making government decisions that influence their income. By vetoing a bill that would have regulated supplements, a substantial source of magazine advertising, Schwarzenegger violated that measure, Olson said. Schwarzenegger's office has countered that he was paid not by advertisers, but by the magazines, so no conflict applies. Another violation, Olson said, was Schwarzenegger's acceptance of honoraria from writing magazine articles, something that state Essex law prohibits. In the June edition of Flex, Schwarzenegger wrote a column headline, quote unquote, in defense of supplements, close quote, which drew distinctions between legal supplements and legal steroids. He criticized government attempts to limit the availability of many dietary supplements and mentioned his veto of a bill that he wrote wrongly, and okay, bear with me, everybody, and mentioned his veto of a bill that he wrote wrongly, sought to restrict the availability of performance enhancing dietary supplements in schools. Olson said that the honoraria law is aimed at preventing acts where elected officials use the office to get additional income and take advantage of their status, which is exactly what happened here. Some legal experts say, however, that in California, case laws, public chief executives are governed by a rule of exception, which requires them to make decisions even if there is a conflict of interest. In 1986, an appeals court ruled that then San Francisco Mayor Dianne Feinstein was allowed to veto a rent control bill, even though it benefited her as a landlord. Her legally required participation in running a city nullified the conflict of interest law, the court ruled. A similar appeals court decision in 2000 exempted Mayor Jerry Brown of Oakland, allowing him to work on redevelopment issues in his neighborhood. Brown argued that his work was legally required and overshadowed the Political Reform Act of 1974, which he coincidentally helped write. A separate FPPC complaint against the governor was filed late Monday by a Petaluma couple who blamed steroids for their son's suicide. Denise and Raymond Garibaldi contend that Schwarzenegger was required to disclose that the bill he vetoed last year would have hurt him financially. Denise Garibaldi said she was moved to act because, quote unquote, we believe our son's steroid use was precipitated by his supplement use, close quote. She previously testified before Congress on steroid abuse and in the legislature on behalf of the 2004 bill. She said her son Rob, a baseball player who turned down a draft offer from the New York Yankees to attend USC, began taking supplements when he was 15. After high school, he switched to steroids, which his family blames for psychological problems that hurt his chances of playing in the major leagues and ultimately led him to kill himself in 2000 at age 24. Poor kid, I feel for those people. That's the end of the story, you guys, and that was by Time staff writer Joseph Men contributed to this report from San Francisco. Time staff writer Robert Shaladay contributed from Sacramento, and I think in the main writer of this article was Peter Nichols, and it was in the LA Times, Tuesday, July 19th, 2005. Again, thanks for bearing with me, you guys. I know I had a lot of stops and starts, so let's play a little Gil Scott-Heron, because after hearing about how Schwarzenegger and the Republican Party are screwing us, I think we need to hear Brother Gil Scott-Heron here on the Kill Radio 6 p.m. news. Wait a minute. Let me see if I can bring him up here. Where are you at, Gil? Okay, here we go.
From the Indians, welcome the pilgrims. Yes, and to the buffaloes that once ruled the plain. Like the vultures circling beneath the dark clouds, looking for the rain. Well, and been looking for the rain. Just like city that stagger on the coastline, living in a nation that just can't take much more. Like the forest they buried beneath the highway, I never had a chance to grow. Well, I never had a chance to grow. And now it's winter, It's winter in America. It's a time when all of the healers done been killed or been betrayed. Yes, people know it's winter. It's winter in America. Truth is there ain't nobody fighting, because well nobody knows what to say. Brother, save your soul. Winter in America. And the Constitution was a noble piece of paper, and with free society we'll struggle, but they died in vain. And now democracy is ragtime on the corner, unemployed, hoping that it rains. Well, they've been hoping for some rain. And I see the robins perched in barren treetops, they're watching the last-ditch races go marching across the floor. And like the peace signs that vanished in our dreams and never had a chance to grow. Well, they never had a chance to grow. If somebody won't know, tell them it's winter. It's a feel like a winter in America. Time when all of the healers, people who could help us, done been killed, they've been betrayed. Yes, people know it's something wrong, feel just like winter. It's winter in America. The truth is there ain't nobody fighting, because well, nobody knows what to say. The sisters save our babies. Winter in America. It's winter. You feel like winter in America. Yeah, it's time when all of the healers, brothers who could help us, done been killed. They put them in jails. Yeah, people know it's something wrong. Everybody ought to know winter. It seemed like winter in America. The truth is there ain't nobody fighting, because well nobody knows what to say. The truth is there ain't nobody fighting, because well nobody knows what to do. Truth is there ain't nobody fighting, because nobody knows what to say.
Okay, everybody, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Friday 6 p.m. news. This is Hassan. Catch my jazz show every Monday night. And with Mr. Miles Davis in the background. And that was, we just heard Gil Scott-Heron doing Winter in America. How apropos for America right now. And he wrote that like almost 30 years ago. Nah, 25 years ago he wrote that song. I think we're going to go out on Gil Scott-Heron in the bottle. But I want to say thank you. I love you. I love killradio.org. I love all the poor people in the world. Okay. And this is Hassan. This is the Kill Radio 6 p.m. news. And remember, Kill Radio just might save your life. So let's go. Let's see. Let's go back into, like I said, let's end the news with Gil Scott-Heron. In the Bottle. I know I saw that on here. That's a great little tune that he wrote. Oh, yeah. Okay, here. I see it. Reading the CD cover here. And, again, I will see you guys Monday night at midnight. And thanks for tuning in.
See that black boy? Oh.